Let's open the word together and let's enjoy God this morning because his word is amazing and it's true and it's real and it's relevant and it's for now. It might have been written in AD 60, but right now it's for us in 2023. I'm going to open up in a word of prayer and you can quickly find Ephesians in your Bible. For the teenagers in here, God eats popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're looking for Ephesians. So it's halfway through the New Testament, and let's open up a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word. I thank you, Lord, that you wrote this through your Apostle Paul all those years ago, but it's as relevant today as it was then. I thank you, Father God, for the mystery of your word to be made known. I thank you, Father God, that we get to share in the truth of your gospel and that your Holy Spirit would work deep in the hearts of each of us. This morning, thank you for this privilege of learning from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So over the last 4 weeks, we've had pretty cool context because scripture is important with context. And we've had 4 weeks of the book of Ephesians. And I have been super blessed to reread it again with commentary from people. I don't know about you guys, but every time you read something, it just becomes richer and richer. So many theologians call Ephesians the treasure chest of the New Testament. And I believe it really is because it was a letter of encouragement to the people of faith and to the church. How many of us need a letter of encouragement right now? I know I do. And I love the fact that Paul writes with such an encouraging heart. And I want to thank Pierre and Ant and Justin and Simeon just for setting it up so beautifully. But I love the fact that we started with a spiritual blessing. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How cool is that? You've got every spiritual blessing. And then Ant exegeted as only Ant can exegete. And he just shared with us how beautiful it is that we have thanksgiving and prayer. And that we can, with thankfulness, come and access God and that he's got all these amazing things for us. Justin came to speak about us, how grace comes through faith. And that we are a masterpiece, that God has intended for us to do good things and to work, and that he's there for us. And then Simeon, you shared so beautifully last week on that we are made up in the household of God. And so I want to thank you guys. Oh, I love my mom. Okay, sorry. That's for you. So I get to share this morning on Ephesians 3. But before we get there, I want us to go back to Acts 10. You don't have to go in your Bible. And Acts 10 and Acts 11 is kind of where this story starts. You see, Peter, because no good sermon would be done without Peter being involved. It's a joke. Peter is preaching to the Jewish leaders, or he's talking to the Jewish leaders, because they're kind of saying, well, this law is for the Jews. And he's going, no, it's for the Gentiles too. And in Acts chapter 10, there's a guy by the name of Cornelius, actually Afrikaansis. But Cornelius, and he'd had a vision from God, and he was a Gentile. And Peter had also had a vision from God. And when they met up, they started to see that this vision was the same thing. And in that moment, Peter realizes, hang on a second, the Spirit works not just for one person, but for all people. That it's for the Jews and for the Gentiles. And it's like this revelation moment, and he says to Jewish leaders, but guys, can you not see that this message is for everyone? And in the book of Acts, chapter 13, he said, when he heard these things, he said, God has given to the Gentiles too the privilege of turning to him and receiving eternal life. I love that this message of hope is actually for all of us, for every single one of us, wherever we are, wherever we come from. So, Ephesians 3, if you've got your Bible, we're going to read it together. I'm going to steal two verses out of Ephesians 2. And I'm going to steal one verse out of next week's preach. Sorry, whoever's doing that. Okay. So then, this is chapter 2, verses 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with all of the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you will also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of God, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though, I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. This was according to the eternal purpose that has been realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, a lot in there. So I just want to just flip just that picture, if you don't mind, Simeon. There's a privilege at the moment in my life. You see, I don't just get called Pete. It's quite cool, actually, at the moment, is I get known as something else. So I go to places and it's like, hey, you're Kate's husband. I'm like, yeah, I did well, eh? And I get known as the husband of a woman of strength and a woman who has massive capacity and kindness. I get known as Hannah's dad. A woman who loves Jesus and loves worship and is brave and shares her faith. I get known as Jamie's dad. He's the guy, a little bit quieter than the others, but he loves the underdog and he's caring and he's kind. I get known as Benji's dad. He's that little boy with a twinkle in his eye, isn't he? He lives at 100 miles an hour, but he has massive empathy. I get known as Sarah's dad. And if you ask Sarah how old she is, she'll, with her little bobbles, will go, I'm one. She's not. She's almost two. In August, she'll be two. But I get known as the dad to this amazing bunch. And I share that because this is, to me, a little bit of a picture of what Paul's talking about in the book of Ephesians. We don't all look the same. We're all very different, but we get put on a mission together. And so Ephesians 3 is about how do we called into this mystery of the gospel that we get to share together. And it is a great mystery. And so this morning I wanted to share six thoughts on that passage of scripture. And the first is that we are stewards of a revealed mystery. Now, stewarding is an interesting comment. You see, Jesus talks about a parable where he gave people different talents. And he gave one, and he gave one more, and he gave one more. And at the end of it, that who'd taken their talent and used it and stewarded it, their talent was grown and established. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful steward, servant. Our job is to steward the great mystery of the gospel, that it's actually the greatest thing we can do with our lives is to steward the mystery of the gospel. It's not about how we steward only our businesses or our opportunities, our jobs, those are important. But the mystery of the gospel, what we do with it, what God has given us to share with the world, that is the most important thing. The second part is that the mystery is revealed by the Spirit of God. And I love the fact that the mystery is revealed. It says in the book of Ephesians 3, it says that it is revealed as we read it and as it is revealed to us. Now, the original Greek, keep me honest here, when we think about revelation, we think it's this really, really big thing. But in essence, it's something that was concealed or hidden has been made known. It's not this kind of tricky murder mystery kind of thing that we have to go through and figure out all the clues and maybe one or two of us will get it. No, this is actually something that could be revealed to all of us. All throughout the Old Testament, it points towards this Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And then he gets revealed and it's like, hey, he did it. He did it. All the books of the Old Testament are telling you about Jesus coming, and then the revelation happens. Jesus comes to earth. He dies on a cross. He gets risen again. He goes and he sits with the Father in heaven. He leaves the Holy Spirit with us so that we can have access, not just the Jewish people, but every one of us here. How cool is that for a mystery being revealed? It wasn't like it was tricky to figure out. It's just that they didn't see it. And it was revealed to all of us. And it's beyond understanding. It's beyond our human comprehension that we could be loved so much that that mystery is made real to us. The third part is that we are heirs to the mystery in verse 6. You know, it's all throughout the Bible, it talks about us being sons and daughters of God or heirs of God. I mean, I've got my kids. I love my kids. My parents are here. My in-laws are here. I'm blessed. I know I am. I have an inheritance that I've been given, and I have an inheritance that I'm giving, and it's amazing. But how much richer is our inheritance in heaven, where the Father of heaven and earth is saying, hey, I love you so much. You're my kid. I love you. And you, I'm going to call an heir. An heir. Like, wow, that's a cool title. That's a really cool title, that we are heirs to God. And I think that's the clincher in Ephesians 3, verses 6, that we are heirs. Next point is I want to share is that we're not just heirs to the mystery, but that we get to share it. And we get to share the mystery, and that is actually our mission in this day and this age. I don't even think I've used a note yet. Paul... He says, you know, I was the least of these. He says, I was a chief sinner. I persecuted the church. Like, why do I get to write half the New Testament? You know, I wasn't that guy. And I just think the fact that he gets to persecute the church, then he gets this revelation on the road to Damascus, this revelation from God that, hey, I love you so much. And I want to use you to tell the world about Jesus. He then dedicates his life to telling people about the gospel. And what I love about Paul is that we can all relate to Paul, all of us, because all of us have had a journey. And the second part is that Paul was both a minister and a tent maker. So not everyone here is in full-time ministry, but everyone here is a tent maker. Everybody here is involved with some aspect of life where you're putting down a tent, you're making space. Whether you're at home with your kids, whether you're running a business, whether you're in a school like me with a bunch of crazy teenagers, you are making a tent. And God is there to equip you and to use you to share the mystery of the gospel. And I think that is a privilege that all of us have. But why do we do it? It says there, so the manifold wisdom of God can be known to this current age. How cool is that? That God is putting on a show, and he's showing us his power and his plan. And he's saying to us, my grace was given so that all of you can enjoy it. My final thought on this is the last part. Is it in verse 11 and 12, he talks about that we should not lose heart in this moment. So if we go back to the beginning of verse 3, it says, I, Paul, am a prisoner. Now, if you were in that time in Ephesus, it's a brand new church. Paul was kind of the cool dude. You know, he was inspiring you. He was one of your teachers. He'd spent 3 years training you up in the gospel. And now he writes this letter from prison. And he says, I'm in prison for this reason. Parenthesis. That's that dash thing. Okay, he stops that thought. And he goes to the next part in verse 14. He says, this is the reason that you are all members of the household of faith under the Father. And so he says, don't lose heart. I'm in prison, but you shouldn't lose heart because I'm here for your good. And so whatever that Pierre was sharing, the valleys and the hills that we are all part of, I don't know where you're at in a valley or a hill, but you know what? We get to share God's story, and that's part of our mission. and that we should never lose heart in doing that. And so I want to now ask my wife to share a testimony. Now, this is not your testimony, okay? It's our testimony. And I'm not saying that in this you should, everyone should run out and go and adopt a child. That's not what we're saying. In Ephesians 1, it says we're all adopted into the family of Christ. And in that, we have learned so much about the Father heart for us as a people. And all of you are going through something, okay, that needs courage and conviction and faith to share the gospel, the mystery of the gospel through your situation. And so I want to ask Kate to share our mystery of the gospel revealed over the last year and a half with Sarah. And then we're going to pray together.
Okay. So, sure. The mystery. It really has been a journey that we as a family have gone through for the last, it's almost 2 years now. It most probably started in 2017, but God in his absolute mercy knew it wasn't the right timing. And 2020, Pete sat down with me and he put his chair next to me and he said, Kate, if we're going to adopt, now's our time. And just as we've read here, there is a cost. We decided to sit down and evaluate the cost. And so what we did was we brought our kids together and we said, this is what's on our heart, but we really don't want to go through with this if we're not all on board, because this is a team effort. This is going to be all of us. And we said, don't talk about it. Go pray about it for 10 days. Just go be with the Lord. Go see what he says to you. And after 10 days, we sat down and we got them to write their costs. Well, for their costs, it was their worries and their excitements. What were you worried about? What are you excited about? And it was very similar things to what we were worried about. Where are we going to put her? Yes, that's a problem. And all sorts of, Hannah's main thing was, what happens if we start this process and then the door closes halfway through? That's true. It could happen. We can't say that it's not. So we had to take a moment as a family to count the cost. Hannah, you're about to become 13. You're about to be a teenager. Now we are thinking of bringing a baby into the world. Well, how is that going to affect you? Let's talk about this. Let's count the cost as a family. And then at the end of that meeting, we decided, are you on board, Hannah? Yes, Mom, but with a bit of caution. James, are you on board? Yes, Mom, if I'm part of this family, we can invite someone else into this family. Benj, are you on board? Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad, we're on board. And we spent some time praying. And that was how we started, really, from that place of counting the cost. We had this conviction, yes, but we needed to be as a family and count the cost. Then I had the most incredible encounter. So that was the next part. And I think, you know, just as Pete spoke now about Peter with his conviction, he had a very deep encounter with the Lord, with the Heavenly Father, with the vision. And Cornelius, the same vision from the Lord, and together the Holy Spirit revealed something. In January, I was, and I can honestly say, the only night that I was extremely anxious. My stomach was in a knot, and I was going, God, this is actually quite a big thing. Do I really have to walk through this? This is quite a big journey. And I was tossing and turning and tossing and turning. And I was awake or asleep, I can't really tell. But I had a vision of a beautiful woman in her 20s, I would say roughly older. And she was in a big room, and she was in a bright yellow dress, and she had her hands lifted up. She was so peaceful, and she was just worshiping the Lord. She was like saturated in the presence, and I just felt the words "light bringer, ray of sunshine," and that's what I woke up with. And I was like, "Wow, not a promise of a baby, but a promise of a future, a promise of where we were going, and that she was going to be a lover of Jesus." And what a promise to hold on to. I know we've got a long road ahead, but we've got a promise to hold on to. So that was in the January. In the May, we had the church set up an amazing prayer. I don't know who can remember that prayer. A prayer room, and there were a whole bunch of stations. And I was in that prayer room, and I was sitting next to the map of the world, and we really felt that our little girl was going to come from Zim. And I was praying for Zim, and I felt so overwhelmed by this country. I've never been into this country, but such a heart for this country, and I just felt trauma, praying for birth mom, praying for birth father, praying for our little girl, didn't know where she was. And I really saw her for the second time, but now as a baby. She was a baby, and she was wrapped in this pink, fluffy blanket. And I really felt God was saying, she's protected from the trauma. And I prayed into the word serenity, free from trouble. And just really trusted the Lord that this was Him speaking again, that this baby was going to be protected from the trauma. So that was the May. Let's fast track. By November, it felt like the waiting had been long, and it had been a long journey. It was a very in-depth process, and lots of admin, lots of things you had to get in place, lots of books you had to read, just lots of, they really trained us incredibly well, and it was a very deep process. But by November, it felt like the waiting had been long. And I remember standing at the back of the church there, and Hannah burst into tears, and she's like, Mom, I can't do this any longer. I am so, this waiting, how much longer? And we couldn't say, and we said, Hannah, tap into this emotion. Tap into this waiting, this longing, because this is how Father views you, with a longing and an anticipation to spend that time with you and the wooing. And I think also that such an intense waiting made the receiving even more joyful, because we were so, our hearts were so ready. And then on the 1st of December, we got a random SMS saying, can Pete and you meet on a call at some point today? Okay. I didn't know if it was an admin call or anything. So on the 1st of December, we got a call to say that there was a match. And she was 3 months old, so that was not what we were expecting at all. And she was a Zimbabwean little girl. Both birth mother and birth father were Zimbabwean. And yeah, just amazing. I remember sitting on the phone, and Pete and I going, oh my goodness, she's so little, oh my word. Because we had actually totally anticipated getting an older child. Because of what we had felt called to, it felt we had been told that we could take many, many years, and we would most probably get an older child. So it was really amazing that we were actually the first people in our group to get a baby. So that was really amazing. So that was that. Then the day of, so that was the 1st of December. The 9th of December, we could go and pick her up, meet her, and bring her home all on the same day. So that was called your handover day. So we arrived at our handover day, and there just a few things I want to pinpoint from that day. So the one was the foster parents who she had been with. The foster parents just ushered in Jesus. They were the most amazing, amazing people. And we had been in contact that whole morning. And she had said, look, she's waking up. Look, this, we're getting her dressed. Look, we're bathing her, you know. And when we, okay, wait, let me not say that. Okay, so then, and so, yeah, I'm not too sure which way to put that. But so when we, okay, let's do the handover. So we get the handover. This lady joins all three of my kids together and puts Sarah in Hannah's arms. And the three of them walk together. Sarah at this point is covered, and she walks towards us. They all got their arms linked, and they walk towards us. And I think, you know, it's amazing, because I really, really had the expectation, and I don't think it was an unhealthy expectation because I think it's very normal, is that I was expecting my love to grow over time for Sarah. You know, we had spoken to a lot of people and they said that that develops over time. But for me, seeing that baby in Hannah's arms, it was instantaneous. It was the most incredible, incredible moment. It was like a birth for me. And what was just so amazing is this, the foster mom said, I had her dressed in a different outfit, and the Lord told me to change her. And they put her in a bright yellow outfit. And so that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, she's dressed in yellow. That's just such an amazing, amazing confirmation. The birth mom also handed over a present that morning. And we exchanged presents. We gave them a present, which we thought was very symbolic. And she gave us a present. You guess what the present was. A pink fluffy blanket. And it was just such a confirmation of these encounters with God and all these things and these promises, just to see his fingerprint in the details coming together on a day. So that was just the most incredible day, and just could just see all these dots and all these things align in the most incredible way. But the thing that I think has stood out most, and I think that's just so in line with what Pete was saying this morning, is it literally took an army to bring Sarah home to us. It took an army. So we, at her first birthday, we went back in time, and we went and had tea and a birthday cake with the foster parents. These people have felt... They felt the Lord say they must sell everything and dedicate their lives to these children. And we sobbed the whole way. Well, especially Pete, I have to admit. Sobbed the whole way through that interaction, because it comes down to people loving God and loving others and living from this place of conviction. And them being faithful with their little, let me say, is so much in the kingdom of God. And their home, I can't remember what it was called, Bethsaida? Well, anyway, and their thing is, they arrive broken and abandoned and broken and leave whole and restored. And now it's just so beautiful. And the next people we went back in time to is where Sarah's birth mom was in like a safe house for 3 months. And it is the most incredible, incredible ministry that has been going for 25 years. And what a blessing to know that our birth mom was counseled, loved, cared for in the last trimester was just such an extra gift for us. And we went back there. And we wanted to go say thank you in True Miller style with flowers and lots of enthusiasm. And when we got there, it was just incredible to be able to go into this place where this birth mom had been for 3 months. And Sarah was completely out of sorts. It was the most interesting thing to see Sarah. She wouldn't let any of us pick her up. She was on the floor. She wouldn't let anybody pick her up. And we said to the house mom, would you feel okay if we as the Millers just prayed for your ministry? We just really want to bless your ministry. We are so grateful for your ministry, and we just want to bless it. And we prayed, and then the house mom said, would you feel okay if I invited the women that are currently in the house to be prayed for? Whoa, what a privilege. Like, absolutely, what a privilege. And they walked in, and the one mom had just given up her baby girl for adoption just a couple of weeks before. And Sarah went straight up to that lady. She put up her arms. This mom picked her up, and she just touched her face like this. Isn't that the Spirit of God just like this amazing moment where it's like, wow, Jesus, you knew what that mom needed at that moment in time, and you used a one-year-old to do that. So I think what we have seen is this extreme love that I cannot even tell you for strangers that we don't even know. Like, you go meet these people and you like, this love is just, it can only be described as supernatural. This love of like, we've got a common, yes, our worlds have come together for this, for something specific. In our case, it was adoption. But it's just such a beautiful picture of what this picture looks like here, but what it looks like for us as a Christian family. Because it's people, all of us, just being faithful with our conviction and walking that out for the sake of the gospel. And in that, it brought one girl home. But in other cases, it's going to be bringing people out there into home, into a home, into a reality of a loving Jesus and being saved. So ours is just a little picture of what that looks like when that is saying, we are one, we are all the Gentiles coming together under Jesus, that oneness of Jesus. Being welcomed into a family, regardless of our nationality, regardless of our history, of our past, regardless of our race, regardless, coming into a family of believers. And so I'm really encouraging you that through our story, we have really, truly seen the fingerprint of God all over it. And it has literally, counting the cost, let's put this, I did not sleep last night. Sarah was awake most of last night. But when I was lying awake last night, I just felt, I'm alive. I'm alive. Jesus, we sing that song, come alive, in the name of Jesus, come alive, in the name of Jesus. And it's when you really see that and being aware and our lenses to see the hand of God on our lives, and we just need to be faithful with our little piece to glorify Him, to bring that gospel, that message out into the world. So, yeah, I hope our story, it's not about the adoption. It's about something greater, and the people we've met along the way, and the love that we've experienced. And the scripture talks about the love of God is so deep and so wide and so high. Can't get around it. You sang that song when we were little, you know? And just experiencing the love of God when you step out in a conviction that God has given us is such a powerful, amazing, amazing privilege.
Yeah. So here's my encouragement to you this morning, is that the mystery is beautiful when we all play our part. The mystery is magnificent when we live our Christian conviction that there are heirs out there who just need to know who they're heirs to. And so our challenge this morning is to live the gospel. It says that it is revealed by His Spirit through the Word. And so it says in the book of Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And so you need to use both. Read the Bible, speak the Bible. Trust Jesus, speak Jesus, live Jesus, and trust Him, because He does fundamentally more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. So I want to pray for us this morning. I don't know where you're at in your convictions, but I'm going to pray for fresh conviction. Is that cool? And if you feel you need fresh conviction, why don't you just, if you feel like you need a little bit of conviction, put your hand like this. If you feel like you need a lot, you can do this, you know? Because I'm going to put both hands up, and you probably can't hear me, but I need fresh conviction to live my faith, so that there are more heirs in the kingdom of heaven, because we want to make heaven full. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, your incredible love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you have made the mystery of the gospel real to us, that you sent your son Jesus, that he died on a cross, that we could get to know you and live with you and love you. And then, Lord God, that we can live in such a way and love in such a way and speak in such a way that others would be just captivated by it, Lord Jesus, and they would be part of this great story of heaven being populated and your household being filled. We thank you for that. I pray for every person here who wants a fresh conviction of the message of hope. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you by your Spirit would make that so real to them. Father God, as you did in the book of Acts, Lord Jesus, you convicted the hearts of people, Jews and Gentiles. Everyone who wanted it, Father God, you did it by your Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, this morning you are faithful to that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.